Hi, and welcome to Getting to Know Your Friends. My name is Zach Rowland. This is our inaugural podcast of Getting to Know Your Friends, so thanks for checking it out. With me are my good friends, Christian and Juliet.
Hello.
And they are, yeah, also my co-hosts in the podcast. And what this podcast really is about is getting to know your friends. And so Christian and Juliet and I know each other pretty well, and yeah, we'll get to know each other even better during this podcast. So that's really exciting. Mm-hmm. But we're also going to bring in a lot of our other friends and kind of get to know them a little bit more and see what their lives are about, because sometimes we just get a little too busy to get to know our friends, you know, more than just social media friendship. So yeah, so that's what we're going to do. And yeah, we have another awesome friend of ours tonight who just did a great online improv set with us. If you haven't checked it out, eimprov.com. It's really good stuff. John Adams, everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
So, welcome. John, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. John pointed out that I had a piece of tape stuck to my foot, and that is a true friend.
That is a true
friend. That is a true friend, guys. Really shows not only his attention to detail, mm-hmm, but his kindness and not wanting me to feel embarrassed. What were you saying about it being a trend? Like,
I thought maybe it was intentional, but I don't know.
Oh, man, all the kids are putting tape on their feet, man. Oh, it just shows you don't care.
Don, do you feel like you don't, like, keep up with trends or, like, know what's cool?
If you're putting tape on your feet, I don't know what's cool.
Cool has changed definition so much, and I think you're into Legos.
I am.
You are into the adult side of Legos. Now, what does that exactly entail? That's a term I hear on Tumblr a lot.
I don't know how we got from cool to adults being into Legos.
Hey, well, hey, the Lego movie is
yeah, the Lego movie was cool. That was good.
I mean, adults being into Legos has entered the mainstream. Whether or not it's cool or not, it's kind of here nor there.
Yeah. Well, actually, there are a bunch of us, especially in Kansas City, that I didn't realize, but
There's a guy who used to be in a team, Loaded Dice. What's his name?
He wrote the book, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
he wrote
the book. Jonathan Bender.
Jonathan Bender, thank you. I'm sorry I did not remember his name right away.
If you want history, I'm the guy, I guess. I got the history.
He wrote the book. He's the one, I think, who told me that Legos, plural, is not a word. You can say Lego bricks, Lego toys, but Lego is I still say Legos.
Yeah. It's a name.
So why do you think you enjoy it? Like, how does it work? Like, you like, it's literally like adults and you're like kind of building stuff with Legos.
I'm not very creative as far as coming up with my own things. I would prefer just to follow the, if you've seen the movie, I'm the Will Ferrell, not the kid in the movie,
but the plans.
I use the plans. I do like to film stop motion videos with the Legos, which I think are fun to do. Very, very time and labor intensive, so I haven't done nearly as many as I would like to do.
Yeah,
but why do you enjoy it? Why does it speak to you still?
Honestly, it's going to sound silly, but just being into comic books, I kind of got into it through the fact that they have, like, a Wonder Woman and an Aquaman and a Catwoman and all these characters, and then it just kind of, like, evolved into, and they've got the Marvel Comics side also, and they've got the Star Wars side also, and that just kind of got to me, and then I was kind of like, but I don't have to have Batman just in the Batmobile, I could have Batman in an ice cream truck, or I could have Batman in the town hall getting married to Wonder Woman, or whatever. And it was just kind of like this whole weird sort of like meshing of the normal domestic side of things with the sort of supernatural superhero side of things, which I liked. So I like that it's just kind of like a conglomeration of all of that together.
That's cool. Wow. Yeah. I guess that's something that happened, I guess, in the past 10 years or so, because when I was a kid, it was just like castle system, space, town for like the really boring kids.
Right.
Then like Duplo, which was like the kid.
The little.
Bigger
blocks.
Do those
even count though? I mean, is that really a thing?
They showed up in the movie.
Oh, really?
They do,
I am sad to say that I have still not seen the Lego movie. I think it's out on
Blu-ray and stuff. Blu-ray and digital download.
So you have failed me.
I'm sorry,
it's
John.
Really funny. I expected to not like it, and I really, really enjoyed it.
It's great.
Screaming in my house.
Yeah. Someday. Awesome. Cool. Well, John, I'm your friend, and I perform with you, and I do improv with you and stuff, but I don't know where you actually come from. Your mother, but, you know,
That's true.
You know,
that's true.
brother from another mother.
Right.
But what is it like? What give us a little bit of like your brief history of like where you know you come from. All that stuff.
I spent most of my life in up till being an adult in Manhattan, Kansas. I moved there when I was about 6 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a few places before that, including Hayes, Kansas, which is...
I've been there.
You've been there.
Yep.
All right.
I've hunted there.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Really?
Yeah. I went to, what was it, prairie chicken hunting there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, prairie chickens?
Don't tell me about
okay.
it.
Okay.
I would not have...
I don't want to know.
Off topic, I would not have thought of you as a hunter.
Usually you don't.
Okay, that's just
Zach Rule, an alpha predator.
I am an alpha predator. But
that's not a side of you that I think I've seen before.
It's not a side of me that's been a thing recently, so...
Well, when I was 5 in Hayes, Kansas, I was not hunting.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. Okay. Good.
Actually, I've never hunted, so...
Good, good.
I've fished 2 or 3 times in my life
catch
when I was
release.
Under 10. Yeah, something
yeah.
like that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I do it.
It wasn't much fun.
No, I hate fishing.
So what brought you to Kansas City?
Yeah.
I got a job here after college. I went to high school. I went to most of grade school, high school, everything in Manhattan, then went to college in Manhattan, K-State. Got a job here. It was kind of a crazy job, so I was...
A crazy job?
Crazy
what were you
job.
Doing?
Tell us.
I was an inside sales representative at a metal company, which is very boring, but the company itself was
not. Oh, because it sounds super exciting.
Yeah, I know that everybody's out there like, oh my gosh, how did you land that job? But it was kind of a weird company. It was, there was a lot of family dynamics in it. It wasn't a family-run business, but it was a company where the boss was very interested in the secretary. The boss's wife, who didn't work there, found out about it. So the boss's wife had the boss fire somebody else so that the wife could have that job to keep an eye on the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was all this drama going on. At one point, somebody called up threatening to shoot a bunch of us.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Tell us.
The boss's wife actually took the call. She shut the door, took the call, didn't tell any of us, just went to tell the boss, and then left, and nobody told us. And then the police showed up like an hour later, and we didn't find out till the next day that this had been threatened against us.
They just let us work.
They just let us work.
Wow.
There was some good news, though. When the guy called up and talked to the boss's wife, he had a good list and a bad list.
Oh.
The bad list was the people he was going to shoot. The good list was the people he was going to let live. And I was very happy when they said, John, you were on the good list.
Hey, that's something.
But then... Then
what
the next
thing that you never expect to find out about
yeah.
yourself, that somebody was thinking about murdering a bunch of people yeah. and was like, you know what? That John Adams, he's going to live.
I don't know if anybody's ever judged that I should live.
That's amazing. Yeah, what a weird thing to know.
Here's the bad news, though.
Oh, no.
I mean, as soon as they say I'm on the good list... Then the boss
there's bad news in this shooting.
Oh,
yes,
a lot of news.
So far, it's all great.
But then he said the boss's wife was on the good list. And my reaction, my like gut visceral reaction at that point was, that's bullshit. I do not want to be on the same list as her.
So
no,
his
you
judgment
shoot
was,
her. You shoot
yes.
her.
There is something wrong with this shooter's judgment.
It was like, if everybody here dies and we're like the last two left living, I think just go ahead and shoot me.
Oh.
Wow. Harsh truths right
yeah.
there.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was
so
a
that was terrible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People yeah. had sex on my desk there.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. The reason I knew about it was because they actually gave us a tour the next day.
And they pointed it out.
People had sex
yeah.
in your office?
Yeah. My desk was doggy style desk.
Oh.
Yeah, they told me that.
Very forward, you know, with their
were
whole
they trying
process.
To, how did you end up getting told this? I don't think
because
that's a normal thing people
no,
would just say.
Yeah.
Well, this the woman.
Hey, John,
who,
we had a lot of sex on your desk. This
yeah.
was in particular the doggy style.
Yeah, the woman who did it, she's very open about everything in her life.
Mm-hmm.
So she shared that information happily.
Wow.
During
kinda,
work hours?
Yeah, just during work hours. There were some other desks where even more interesting things happened. But.
What else was this woman open about?
Wow.
She well. Her favorite thing in the world was blowjobs. So people would call her...
And who's it?
How, I just want to get a picture
okay.
of this woman. Like, how old was she? Like, what'd she look
she was
like?
About 30.
Right.
She was bigger. She,
Wait, like, 220 pounds bigger or 400 pounds?
Not 400 pounds. I would say about, probably...
180?
No, I'd say probably more in the 220 range.
Two,
yeah.
two plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bragged about blowjobs.
She had, yeah.
Disheveled? Was she, like, or was she clean kept... This is important for my image
like
of the
story. I would like to know.
When I'm thinking about this later, I want to know.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm going to log it away for something.
What are you going to do with it?
What
do you mean you're going to do with it?
There's blowjobs involved. What do you think I'm going to do?
I feel really bad saying this, but she was fairly clean cut overall. Not, okay. not super attractive, but fairly clean cut. But she would wear, she had this long, long, curly brunette hair, and she would wear it up sometimes. And when she would wear it up, she had this birthmark on the back of her head that was about the size of a fist. And you could see it through the hair. It looked like raw hamburger. And it would...
She like it was like a tumor kind of a thing? Or
kind
like
of,
a,
yeah. She eventually got it taken off, but whenever she would talk about blowjobs, I was just envisioning like having your hands.
No!
That's just a device you don't have. You like reach around and it's like, what? Like, no, you are.
The horn sound goes off. Yeah. I'm just losing my shit.
Oh, it's
my vestigial
like...
twin. It's just, don't worry about it. It kind of looks like, you know, Krang from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But you like just, I'm just going to keep sucking you dry.
I'll be doing something else. Don't worry. I won't even be paying attention.
It looked like this little red brain on the back of her head.
Oh, no. No.
I feel bad because, I mean, it's not like it. There are lots of things in the world that are her fault, but that was not one of them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what are you going to do? I mean, you can't really blame her. She did eventually,
she did
right?
eventually, yeah.
Yeah. So, did you, like, were you friends with her, or did you just, like...
They were friendly. I mean, she had a lot of drama in her life. She
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, I know. I know you're shocked. How did you not guess that? She had this alcoholic boyfriend that she would always... Yeah, I know. She would be with him, then not with him, with him, not with him.
Is that who she would be having sex with in the office, or was it...
No, actually, the guy she had sex with in the office was a coworker. It was... Guys, it was okay, though, because what was going on...
Was this during the red brain phase?
Yes, yes.
Oh no!
Her whole life was the red brain phase.
Well, no, she had it taken off at one point. Yeah.
This guy that she had sex with, he was married, and he and his... See, this is why it's okay. He and his wife...
he was married, but this is why it's okay.
I can't wait to hear this justification.
He and his wife were trying for a baby. And so his wife was having him not have sex with her so that he could save up sperm. But since he's a guy and he needed it, he needed to have sex somewhere. He just couldn't let his wife find out about it. So he had sex with Darla. That was her name, Darla.
Yeah, it's totally okay then.
That's fine.
I mean, it's just totally just the way she... That's how she explains it. Like, but it's okay. And his wife doesn't want to know about it. So it's
he's just trying to get...
This was her explanation to you of why. And she was even literally like, well, he's a man, so he needs sex.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's...
Yeah. So, really?
What a good view for her to have.
Well, I feel like you should just be in a room, Darla, but she's not here. I don't think she'd say these things.
She try to get a hold of her.
Well, she eventually moved to Oklahoma because she met somebody.
Oh, so how did she meet them? Did she meet them over the internet?
No, actually, she knew this person. She had gone down to Oklahoma for a weekend, and she called me up on Monday because she wasn't coming into work because she met a nice guy there, and she'd actually known him when she was younger. He was such a great guy, and she had never met anybody like this, and he was so great because he could just talk to her and talk and talk and talk, and then they'd go on a walk, and she never realized that you could just walk and talk and walk and talk and walk and talk. But she had to get something checked out first, and I'm thinking, like, AIDS test, maybe? No! What she had to get checked out was that their fathers were cousins, and she had to make sure it was okay.
Wow.
And so she eventually moved in with that guy in Oklahoma. That broke up because she...
second cousin of hers?
Yeah.
That's why the red brain thing happens. It comes from second cousins.
Yeah.
They broke up because she shared too much about their sex life with his parents.
You don't want to know that about family members.
Wow.
It's already oogie enough.
Yeah.
And you're bringing that into it. Wow. Like, that's just... Oh man, that's so unpleasant.
Yeah.
So you stopped working there.
Stopped working there.
Yeah. Let's keep on trucking.
Kept on plowing.
Kept on trucking. Then got into PR, and I've been doing PR since then in various forms. Sometimes with the media, sometimes with employees, things like that. Just
cool.
Get switched around every few years. And
very cool.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, I guess since we are all improvisers, I mean, what brought you into improvisation? Like,
great
what first
question.
Got you interested in it?
Yeah, actually, way back in college, I had taken an improv class. It was like a 4-credit class at K-State, and I really enjoyed it. took a long, long break, mm-hmm. and I got back into it about a year ago.
K-State's got a team, or at least...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, one team on the spot.
I can't remember their name, but I was one of the judges at the local competition.
Right.
The statewide competition. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they bring in good shows there, too. We saw the UCB Tour Company there at their little mini festival. And so K-State really does have a good forefront into what the improv world really is. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Very true.
Cool. So you took the break.
Took the break, came back to it. I was actually just, I thought it would be fun to do number one. Mm-hmm. I thought just being in PR, because occasionally I have to go on TV or do a radio interview or whatever, it might be good. In fact, it's kind of the opposite, because PR, you have to like memorize the script and you can't go off and you can't say anything that's off script and that your legal group hasn't approved. And improv is the exact opposite. So didn't have that desired effect, but I somehow stuck with it regardless.
Cool.
And a friend of mine at the time, who's always been really, really like super shy, she was telling me that she had, in the last year or so, gone to Toastmasters, where you like get up and just learn how to give presentations and speeches and things like that. Wow. And then she was like, she liked it so much that she was thinking of taking an improv class. And I was like, okay, if this person who's really shy can consider taking an improv class, then I can certainly do it. So I did it, took a class, and had both of you as teachers at one point, mm-hmm. and then all of you as coaches at other points, and it's been great.
Excellent.
And like three groups now, and it's fun.
So, I also know another reason why you got into improv is because you're a gamer.
Yes.
Tabletop and LARP gamer.
Yes.
And so I have to know, not to steer it too much towards talking about freaks again, but...
Let's do it.
I've LARPed.
Let's do it.
You meet
Let's
some weirdos.
I will be honest, I have never LARPed as far as like getting up and wearing the costume and going into the forest and pretending that I'm whatever the case may be.
For those that don't know, LARPing is live-action role-play.
Yeah.
Just in case there's anybody out there. I know for a long time I did not understand what LARP stood for. So I wanted to make it clear before we
Have you done the dress in the forest?
I haven't done the dress in the forest. I mean, I've done the I'm going to get up and totally pretend I'm a vampire, but I guess the vampire is just dressed like I am.
That's fine. I like some games like Fiasco, which is a role-playing game. I've played with a few of you before.
Yeah.
And I was playing a lot of that, and I was like, wow, that's very improv-y, because, I mean, it's basically one of these things where you just get up and act out a Coen Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's fun, mate. I mean, I could actually do this with... I'm guessing my friends probably got sick of me always saying, let's play Fiasco tonight. And so I was like, well, I'll find people who like want to do this on a weekly basis in class.
Yeah.
So what's some of the drama that you've encountered while gaming? Gaming groups that you maybe can't go back to or don't want to go back to?
Oh, wow.
Or stuff like that.
I don't know if I've seen a whole lot of drama in that I've been a part of. There are interesting types in gaming groups. you're probably going to be really, really surprised to hear this, but there are some people who don't have a lot of social skills.
Right.
I know. Yeah, I know.
What? Get out of town.
That is everything I've ever experienced with any other gamers.
But there are also some people who are really nice, upstanding people who are just, it's like they're really kind and considerate, things like that, so that's great. But
it's a good hodgepodge.
Yeah. I mean, I work at comic conventions, and I've done that for probably about 15 years now, and so... I have seen that mix in the comic book world also. There are a lot of people like at the comic conventions who you not only would you not want to have them at your house, you wouldn't want to have them on your street or in your town or anything like that. You walk by them and it's like, that person has not showered for the last month. But then you also meet some really, really, really nice people. It's great.
Yeah. It is an interesting scene. It's one that I've been kind of a part of for a very long time, the nerd culture scene. You know, it came up out of like conventions and hotels in the 70s and like seeing it grow into this. I was not in the ones in the 70s. I'm not that old.
Right.
But seeing it grow into something so like organized and recognized by the mainstream. I mean, they announce big movies now at the Comic-Cons.
Yeah.
I mean, like in San Diego and New York and stuff. But I mean, it's so cool because it just kind of celebrates having fun in a way that I don't think people were really comfortable with for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, like still, like I'm still into these things even though I'm an adult, and I know they're fun, but why can't I have fun with my free time?
You know? I got the opportunity a few years ago to San Diego Comic Con. I wasn't working there; I was just going there, and I literally just camped out in this panel room all day and. Tina Fey was there, Will Ferrell was there, entire Scott Pilgrim cast was there, Sylvester Stallone was there, Jeff Bridges was there because they were doing like Tron Legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Angelina Jolie was there, Bruce Willis was there. Yeah, and it's just like you just sit there and you just take it all in. But you have to, I didn't even get to go into the first one because I got there like 3 hours before, whereas everybody else got there like the night before and was literally camped out overnight. And wasn't quite worth it for that.
Wow.
It's fun, but I mean, all those big names were there, and those are the names that, kind of like you were saying, that it's not just the nerd culture that appeals to. It's everybody. I mean, those are the names that my parents would know, and they would go see the movies.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It is something that I've often thought that improv could definitely be a part of. I went to PAX. For those of you who don't know, PAX is like another gaming convention. It's the guys from this website, Penny Arcade, and they put on, it's video games, it's tabletop gaming, it's just kind of a celebration of everything nerd culture. And I think improv would really speak to that crowd, because it is such a, you know, explore things and have fun in the moment with it, and I think that would really resonate with the people that play tabletop games. Things like that.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, I think that a lot of the improv I see, and not just from you guys, but just from improv I've watched online and everything, there's a big crossover sort of with the nerd culture. I mean, you see a lot of Star Wars and improv references and improv, Star Trek references, comic book references.
Doctor Who is huge right now.
It's not just a matter of that, okay, these are the people who would never watch this sci-fi show or who've never read a comic book. There's a lot of people involved in it that have done that and are continuing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really great. So you've been...
Wow, that's really great. Into that standpoint, is that leading you to a hopeful future with anything? I mean, you're doing PR, so, you know, what can you, like, take with you into that? Like, is there anything that you want to do with the comic books or comic cons or,
you know,
so you volunteered for a couple of years.
I've worked there. I mean, that's never going to be anything that's full time, the comic book stuff. But I mean, I like all of it because it kind of gives me a creative outlet. Because PR, I do it. I think I'm good at it. Things like that. It's not always the most creative job, even though sometimes you may go on TV or you may work with a video shoot or you may do something like that. But it's not always super creative in that you're just trying to get across somebody else's message, whereas improv I really like because you're sort of doing your own thing. You're collaborating with other people to do a sort of a group project that it's really intrinsic to who you are and what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
So, since you've been a student of all of ours or been coached by us in improv, I have to know, were there any moments where you were just incredibly dubious about what we were teaching you or any information we were relaying you, and you can be totally honest. You're a very politic guy.
Not to me.
I know.
You have to lie and just kiss my butt.
Totally honest.
Honestly, every single moment has been hell.
That's fair.
It's not so much that. I think that there are some things that you will say or other teachers or coaches I've had will say, but you don't get it until you've been in it longer. Like the whole don't try to be funny, that kind of basic rule, I always knew that was a basic rule, but I also always thought that what you were saying was like, you guys aren't funny enough to try to be funny, but if somebody were funny enough, they should try to be funny, but it's really not. I mean, it really took me probably a good at least 9 months to a year before I realized that's a legitimately fair rule that what you're really trying to do is be real, and it's not anything about the way you guys taught it. It's not like, oh, if they taught it a different way. It's just until you start doing it, you don't understand how important that is. Or I recently got a note like less contemplative scenes, and I think I've heard that before, but when I started hearing that like 6 to 9 months ago, I didn't get it. And until you have the experience and sort of have done it 100 times, then it's like, that's what that means now. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we sometimes coach you on really weird things, and especially I was one of your early teachers, so there was a lot of, like, I'm going to ask you to do this weird thing, and I need you to not question it.
Have I gotten slightly better since then?
Oh, totally. You've gotten really great.
Yeah.
I don't know, because you work in Sprint, and you do this kind of button-up job, so I didn't know, like,
moments
like that might have come up.
You know, I mean, I think that I would never say that I've gotten bad advice, but I will say that if you ask different coaches or different teachers, and sometimes you get different advice, And I think that's just part of improv. I think that's just, it's not an exact science. It's just part of the nature of it that you have to figure out what's right for you. That's great. I mean, I got a note a few weeks ago, go out into every scene, or go out whenever you feel inspired, but I've also gotten the note that sometimes the best thing you can do is to hold back and trust that your scene partners have it. And so those are really two opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. And
neither of those notes, by the way, were from any of you. But
that's okay.
But those are that was an Adam note, it sounds like. Was it?
No, actually it wasn't. But I remember... I'm trying to remember where it was. It was actually somebody else who got the note, so I probably should. But it was some. It was like in the class, so it was kind of directed towards all of us, but one person specifically. But but I think it's good because it's kind of shows you that okay, those are the, sort of the two extremes. Where do I fall in that continuum?
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it is tricky because you have to start to realize how nebulous this art form is, and how in the moment, because it's like you're right. One scene, it's best to just instantly go with that gut reaction, and another time, it's going to be best to like trust that they have it.
Right,
and
the
more you train on it, the less you have to think about those types of moves, and you just feel it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, I mean, sort of one of the 101 rules that you talk about is don't do scenes about stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I've done scenes about stuff that have been absolutely hysterical.
Oh, yeah.
Because some of them can be, and every once in a while they will be, but I think kind of what you need to take away from that is that the model is that 9 times out of 10, this is not going to be a funny scene. It's just you may luck into that one where it's actually really, really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I've done scenes like that, and I've been like, wow, that was a really fun stuff scene. I hope I never replicate that because it'll never be funny again.
Right.
Yeah. So you're getting that that experience, that understanding, and I agree. I think that's really important that once you do something like that, you're like, oh, that was really fun, but I probably wouldn't do that if I had the opportunity to again, or if I saw it that way.
If I'd been thinking about it, then I would have.
Right. Yeah. You're taking that and being like, all right, well, I can adjust now my playing style to what I think really would be more appropriate as to making it, you know, relationship, emotional, you know, because stuff scenes can be funny depending on how witty you are. I mean, that's...
Whenever I break a rule and it still works and I'm going to laugh, I'm almost like, oh, I wish I hadn't, because now I'm going to feel compelled to do stuff like that again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Training your brain to realize those moments and work on it. How did you feel earlier tonight? We were talking, you were talking a little bit about when to go and when not to go earlier with the show that we did with the E-Improv.
Yeah.
How did you feel about that?
It was good. I mean, I liked it. I mean, I think it's a great format, and it's very similar to like a show you would do on a traditional stage. Just sort of, I felt compelled to go a few times, and a lot of times I'd look at it and it's like I would be on the sidelines, and I'd know you guys have it. You guys are doing a great job with it. But then if I felt compelled, like there was the one scene where I broke in where everybody was, you were not letting anybody look at your dick, and I was like, well, somebody's got to do something sexual with this. I guess that's going to be me. So.
Yeah, it was funny because you had your hands.
I can't give you a blowjob if I can't see you.
Right. It was fun, yeah.
Which is not true.
Pushing that
by
game.
By the way.
Well, let's ask what Red Brain, you know?
Old Red Brain. Old spaghetti neck.
Yeah, right?
She would never.
Where she's at now in Oklahoma.
Outside of improv, like what is sparking your interest right now? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you really into?
Well, Legos.
Yeah.
Legos and comics, I love. I always love those.
You have not seen the new X-Men movie at
I have
this,
not. I'm hoping to go
point.
Tomorrow. Yes, I'm hoping to go tomorrow. I don't travel very much, but I went, and it's been like a year ago now, but I really got into scuba diving about a year ago, and I would love to go someplace I can scuba dive again. You can't really do that in Kansas and Missouri.
Right,
I know. It's crazy.
It's muddy waters.
Yeah, I was going to go like Brush Creek, and it just didn't work out.
Yeah.
What about scuba diving appeals to you?
That's a weird question. I am a horrible swimmer. When I was a kid, my parents signed me up for swimming lessons. I failed. They signed me up again. I failed again. So I've never been a good swimmer, but I had some friends that were going to do it and that had actually done it before. And I was going on vacation with one of them to Honduras. And she was going to go scuba diving because it was a good place for scuba diving. And I was like,
so why did you fail it at those swimming classes? Like, were you afraid of the water? Would you just sink or just not getting it?
I just didn't get it. I mean, I wasn't.
You failed like level one swimming, like where the lifeguard holds you under your tummy and you like kick your, like, what the fuck were you doing? It's like really easy stuff.
We had to do the breaststroke, the backstroke. The only thing I could do was the backstroke. But we had to do
what kind of fucking pool was this? Get in there and you do laps right now.
We had this long list of like 10 things that we had to do. I think I was about 10 at the time or so, and I was just kind of like, okay, so I'm going to have to do like 7 so I can get in 70, like 70% that's passing. No, you had to do all of them to pass.
God,
and it was
like
breaststroke. The only one I could do was the backstroke. I remember that. But
Man, no, they like really baby stepped it at the pool where I grew up. Yeah.
No, it was
that's
like
rough,
that.
Man.
Nothing like that.
You just had the wrong teacher.
I did. Right, I remember now. He was really mean. He was the guy for the first one was really mean, and my parents were like, "Well, we're gonna get you in it again," and we checked, and it's a different teacher this time. He's gone on to level 2, so you're gonna have teachers, and they're much nicer. And my parents were right; they were so much nicer, and I still failed. So
tomorrow morning, John, you and me, going to be at the pool.
Yep,
I know.
Right, and
early. Be holding you under the tummy,
little tummy
be
action.
You be on the edge of the pool, kicking and doing like the breathing bubbles into the water. Yes.
So you can't swim, but you love scuba diving.
Yeah, it was fun. So I thought, well,
like,
you know,
do you just walk on.
I mean, you have to be able to kind of get down there and swim and be buoyant a little bit, but it's not like, I mean, you're literally getting air, so you're not having to like. What I never liked was getting, I think, the water in my mouth and my nose.
Oh, yeah.
I hated that.
Yeah.
And so this, you've got the thing over your mouth, and you're breathing that way. And so I like that, and see the animals under the water.
And where
the
this was,
under the water.
Where was this at again?
Honduras.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't travel that much, but it was just like, my friend was going. She travels all the time, all over the world. She's a professor, so she travels for work a lot, and then for personal a lot. She spends all of her summers just various places in the world. This is a place she'd been before, and she was like, I'm going to go. It's fairly cheap to go. You want to go with me? I was like, sure.
Do you think she's the female Indiana Jones?
She doesn't, you know, she doesn't really do like the whole tomb raiding stuff. I know you probably didn't think she actually did that. But she does the thing where she'll like ride around on the back of motorcycles or just with
Nazis
random
chasing
people.
Her.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps there were Nazis. She didn't mention that part. But she does a lot of adventurous things that
cool.
I think a lot of people would not do. So
yeah, it's great that she would invite you to go do something like that to kind of get you, you know, out of your comfort zone and get you to do something. And like you said, it's not very expensive. And I've traveled. I've been to the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. That's the farthest outside of the United States I've been. But I've been all over the United States. And
I've been to
it.
Southern Mexico, I think, is the farthest out.
Ooh, Southern Mexico.
Yeah, it was very beautiful down there. I also scuba dived down there.
Oh,
it was awesome.
That's great.
And that thing where you parasail off the back of a boat.
Oh, I wanted to do that so bad.
Sit like on a swing. That was really cool. And then far as north is Prince Edward Island.
Where's that at, in Canada?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's where Anna Green Gables is from, for those who care, which is nobody.
Hey, we're literature people here.
I don't care.
Nobody
that cares about literature cares about Anna. But
it's a dumb middle brow. I'm gonna say it right now. It's a dumb middle brow book.
I went to the part of Massachusetts where they wrote The Scarlet Letter because everybody cares about fucking Nathaniel Hawthorne, right?
I like it.
I think Nathaniel Hawthorne, I think you could make a justification that that's literature. I don't think Anne of Green Gables.
No, it's kind of pop
literature
for little girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the American Girl dolls for
Canada.
50 years ago, Canada. Yeah.
For Canada.
Yeah.
So, so tell us a little bit about where you'd like to continue to go forward with, like, improv or future. I mean, where does future John want to end up? If you could push us into some
time period
pieces.
I love what I'm doing right now. I mean, I'm in 3 groups right now. They're great, and I get to work with you guys a lot, and that's fantastic. So it's. I would like to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Awesome.
I would like to start submitting to more festivals.
Mm-hmm.
By more festivals, I mean more than 0 because I haven't submitted to any yet. But
it's one of the most fun things you can do.
Yeah.
Traveling.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right there.
I'm hoping I can save up a little bit and this year go to either Second City Intensive in Chicago or maybe even UCB Intensive in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Those are kind of my goals for the year.
Sure.
One of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've had some friends who have done those. I think you've done the Second City.
I have.
Yeah. I've done it as well. And Chris Fielder, a teammate
He's
of yours,
doing
is doing it right now.
Yeah.
There's some. There are other a little bit more affordable options as well. Our coach Kevin Mullaney is also offering his boot camp class.
Oh, really?
Up here in Chicago, I think in July,
something like that.
So, and it's a
it
lot
might
of
be a 4-week thing. You might have to actually live up there.
Oh, is
for it?
It
to be easy to do? Yeah.
I see.
If it's not, like, totally do it as an intensive.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Because the week long intensives are really convenient for people who can book something for a week. So. Yeah.
But I really liked Second City. I would really highly recommend
it.
Mm-hmm.
I a lot of the training that I get now is UCB. I love the manual. It's so great. So in that way, I was kind of thinking Second City might be kind of fun to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Get outside of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Explore something different.
Mm-hmm. On the flip side, I've got more friends in New York, so I could probably bum a couch at least a couple of nights in New York.
Mm-hmm.
More expensive to get there, so we'll see how it works
tough
out.
Tough questions.
Yeah.
Tough questions.
I know. Yeah. Future questions.
Love having all these problems. I mean, these are good problems to have, I guess.
True.
Yeah. Excellent. Good. Back to Legos.
Okay.
Your Lego fantasy world.
Ooh, that sounds really.
No, it's fine. It's
okay.
fine. I'm
okay.
gonna go with it. Yeah.
Okay.
In your Lego fantasy world, tell us what you would have, like. What sort of like shops and scenarios and, you know, would it be like drama or comedy? Like, if we could put Truman Show in John's Lego world, and that's a weird question, but just play it out. Have fun with it.
Well, I've got this entire thing scripted in my head. But
specifically
it's for stop motion video. Whenever I get more time for stop motion, I'm doing a soap opera about Aquaman.
Why Aquaman out of all the characters?
Nobody else will ever choose Aquaman.
True, yeah.
So anybody who searches, like, YouTube or whatever for Aquaman Lego, mine
nice.
Is the one that's going to pop up.
Nice.
Good.
Yes. But it's this entire thing, and he's got a brother, and he's got a girlfriend, and she dies, but then gets another girlfriend, and Catwoman's in it, and Spider-Man's in it, and, yeah.
Nice. So it would be a lot of comic book references.
Yes.
All right, I see. Mm-hmm. Good.
Are we getting close to time, Zach?
A little bit. I think we don't really have a set time, but
Can I ask a bunch of quick questions?
10 minutes. We got
that's
10 minutes.
Pepper me with questions.
Okay. All right. Let's do some
rapid
quick
fire
questions. Yeah.
This segment's called Rapid Fire Friend Questions.
All right, John. Your favorite type of dessert? What's your favorite type of dessert?
Cheesecake.
Cool.
Go. Keep going. Here we go. John,
what is your are you a night person or a morning person?
Night person.
How many people have you punched?
No one since I was probably 10, and at that point it was probably about 3.
Describe in simply terms as you can your bedtime routine.
I read comics. I get changed, feed my cats, tell my cats that they don't have to get in bed with me tonight, even though I know they will. Get in bed. Gets resituated because the cats are in there, and then read a little bit and fall asleep while I'm reading.
Nice.
Next president.
Hopefully Hillary Clinton.
Ooh.
What was the last thing you said that you really regretted?
Hillary Clinton.
What is your, what is like a daily annoyance? What's your main pet peeve on a daily basis?
I hate when people repeatedly say the same thing and ask you the same question in different ways. It's like at work, if somebody says, how do you do this? And you say, I don't know. I have no idea. I've never done that before. And they just say, well, do you do it this way? Do you do it this way? If you just kind of repeatedly asking the same question when it's like, I don't know.
What would be your last meal? If that were to ever happen, not that I'm saying.
Do you know something I don't?
No!
Wow. You know, I like a lot of food, probably something pizza related.
Good.
Grossest thing your cat has done? Or cats?
Oh.
You have cats, right?
I have 2 cats now. They're fairly new. the cat that I had before, I had to have her put to sleep a few months ago. She had cancer for the last 2 years of her life. She did pretty well with it for the last 2 years, but she threw up a lot, and so that was probably the grossest thing. I mean, it was just, I know people who have cats, it's like they throw up, and so it's not that gross, but it's just the fact that it would happen.
Any time that particularly stood out in your mind?
There were times when it was more voluminous than others. I mean, it's like, wow, you have no appetite since you've got cancer. You weigh like 2 pounds. How is all that in there?
Wow. Heavy. Wow. Let's bring it back around. Favorite cereal?
Nice. Oh, I've been, you know, when I was growing up, I would have said Captain Crunch or Lucky Charms. I've been kind of on an oatmeal kick lately.
Oh, I love oatmeal. Yeah. So. Captain Crunch is one of my favorites, though.
Yeah.
Gotta love the Captain.
Gotta love the Captain. Yeah.
First kiss.
Oh, probably, I don't know if this really counts or not, but probably like in a middle school play. I don't know if that's
does it count, guys?
I don't know. What's your first like kiss because you wanted to romantically kiss somebody?
Oh, well, I kissed Christian a few weeks ago. I don't think that counts. No, there was, it was a guy in high school.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't have a question. I was really interested in hearing the kiss question. I was so ready for hearing that.
Yeah. I meant who was your favorite kiss member?
Oh.
Yeah, favorite member.
Peter Chris.
Peter Chris, of course.
What
he
is
the cat, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What song just instantly makes your blood boil?
In a good way or a bad way?
Bad way. Like, what song comes on and you're just instantly...
You can't turn it off fast enough.
Oh, Aruba, Jamaica, Ooh, I Wanna Take Ya.
Oh,
Kokomo by the Beach Boys.
Come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego. Baby, why don't we go? Let's torture him some more, guys.
I love it.
Let's torture him
And then let's,
some
like,
more.
Ask him the same question over and over
again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, John... Thank you for doing the rapid fire round. That was fun.
Yeah.
What? Just real quick, let's bring it back around to some improv stuff since that's what we all do. What do you wanna learn next? Like, what are you working on? What personally has kind of been a thing that you've been going after, or seeking advice about, or playing with? I mean.
Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I'm working on the Herald. I think that's great. I think that even one thing I like about it is that even if I'm not performing a Herald, I think there are so many skills I learned from that I can put into other things. With Adam Helscher, I am working on Closed Quarters, which I've never done before, which is basically where you have the entire thing takes place in one location, but multiple scenes at different times, some in the past, some in the future.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. How are you liking that?
I've done it exactly twice in one class, but so far I like it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, so that'll be fun. I mentioned to you guys, I think, that I'd like to get, it's back to the whole nerd thing, but I'd like to get some sort of, like, space opera or Star Wars improv going. I've talked to, like, the local fan club here, and they seem interested, so that'll be cool.
Great.
Yeah.
And aren't you doing something other, musical improv related?
I would like to. I'm not.
I thought you were part of the...
At some point I would.
There was something music improv related going on. Well, yeah, you should get something started up.
Yeah.
That's sometimes the best way to do it is just to... Do your own projects, and that's kind of how this happened.
Take
what we like, and
since we're like figuring out this project, can I propose a segment?
Let's do it.
This is all about getting to know your friends.
Yeah,
like, we've been asking you a lot of questions,
Ooh.
John.
Oh, yeah,
you're
perfect.
You're friends with us too, like. So maybe this segment is total honesty. Why don't you just point blank ask one of us any question you want, and we have to be totally honest.
Okay, just one of you?
Okay. Yeah, that
just
makes
or all of us.
Oh, yeah, we got time.
Okay,
we got
I guess it depends on how like direct you want to be with it.
Yeah. How about one question for all three of you?
Okay.
Okay.
Same question for all three of us?
Yeah.
Improv regrets as far as like you do a scene and afterwards you're like, I can't believe I did that. Are there any scenes that really stick in your mind as far as, wow, that's something I'll never do again?
Yes, I have one immediately off the top of my head. This was recent, actually. It was back in February. It was a show that Christian and Julie and I did. You saw this show, actually. It was the Valentine's Day show. And in a scene, I got up and just left for no reason. It was in the most weird, awkward way, and there was no justification for it. And as I did it, I didn't even know why I did it. And I was just like, what the hell am I doing?
Was that scene where you just left me out there?
The Bennigans. At the Bennigans.
At the Bennigans. That was the epitome of
the worst thing that I can consciously think of ever doing. And my biggest regret in a show doing. I just like completely walking out. On a scene. I don't know.
We were in the middle of a scene and you were just like, all right, I don't want to be here with you anymore. I'm leaving. And I was just like sitting there and stood up and just gave a monologue to a Bennigan.
I thought it worked. I mean, I thought it was a good scene.
I'm glad you did. As a critical person of my own performance and my own worst enemy, I was so pissed off at myself. Mm-hmm. I was livid. So.
I actually did a scene earlier tonight where I was in a scene with my wife and our two kids, and the wife had left us and didn't want anything to do with the kids. But I was back at the house with the two kids, and I actually walked off stage while they were talking and like hid behind a curtain, and I was like, okay, I'm getting out. I'm trying to dump the kids on her. Nobody realized I had left, though. So it looked kind of very weird to the audience. So I can kind of relate to that. But they didn't ever acknowledge that I'd left. So I think it was very strange from the audience perspective. But I can relate.
Yeah. There you go. See.
I can think of my answer. Okay. Definitely. And Christian, you'll remember this too. This might even be your answer as I start saying it. But there was a scene we did with one of our coaches, Dustin Drury, once. And I think we were just working on like peas in the pod type scenes or something. And we ended up doing this scene where we were two very proper Victorian ladies. And it was straight out of a Jane Austen novel. And we talked about, I'm going to be a matchmaker and put people together. And it was just the most pitch perfect Jane Austen thing, because it was the lamest thing that any two people have ever done, is pretend to be two very happy, proper Victorian ladies. And like, I could see it on our coach's face of like, what did these two just make me watch? So, like, what was this?
It needed like a twist or something. Like,
yeah, there was no game to it. Yeah, I was just super having fun pretending to be a Victorian lady.
I don't regret. I mean, I'm not.
Well, I look at it. I saw the look on his face.
Yeah.
And like, that was just like, oh my God, I have to make these funnier. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe I was just overjudging it.
It's a good character exercise anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, not to cop out, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of regrets. Not anything that I can think of specifically.
It's fine, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's things
that
I was like,
chess
oh, I...
with Death show where we didn't get a suggestion.
That was bad, but I learned not to do that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I hate to be all like, man, you just learn from every experience.
Don't regret
but,
it.
I mean, I regret that I, you know, anytime I killed or, you know, fucked somebody in a scene without earning it, but I don't know. It's it all changes and builds towards something. So
yeah,
I regret some of the like team choices I've made. I'm not gonna say anything specifically. Like there are some things that I did that weren't the best fit for me, but you know, and I kind of wasted my time with certain things. There were opportunities I could have got on sooner. But as far as like shows, I can't think of anything specifically.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, let's wrap it up. Any plugs real quick? John, plug any teams or any shows? I know Disappointing Birthday Party's hot right now at Underground Throwdown.
Yeah, Disappointing Birthday Party. We just won our second Underground Throwdown.
Yeah.
Yay!
Third one is going to be June 21st, I think. So come out. Vote for whoever you like best. Doesn't have to be our team, but just come out. We like playing to a full house. So we want you to come with an open mind so that we can win you over. Comedy of Errands is my other group, and then Babies is my group with these guys here, which is our Herald group, and look for that soon.
Yeah,
and what else do we got?
We have the Fringe Festival here in Kansas City, which is the last week of July, which features a lot of the teams that John just mentioned. The three of us will be up in Omaha at the Backline Theater next weekend for the Omaha Improv Festival.
May
30th and 31st, I believe.
30th, 31st,
yeah.
June 1st.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Right around there.
Mm-hmm. just in general, people can check us out at the Uptown Arts Bar, uptownartsbar.com. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of stuff going on there, weekly classes, weekly drop-in workshops, all sorts of stuff. And later this summer, we will be in New York City at the Del Close Marathon.
Yeah,
so Del people Close. Might know what that is.
Yeah. You can check us out on e-improv.com, the Recess Players House Party. We all do that. John did that with us earlier tonight.
Thank you so much. Right. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And go ahead.
I was just going to say, go to their Wednesday workshops. They're great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Yay.
Yeah. One more thing to plug with e-improv. I've also been asked to play with a team called Round Here sometimes, which is a bunch of people from all around the country. So that's fun. We usually play real late Sunday night. Cool. Recess Players Improv House Party is usually late Saturday night.
Awesome. Yeah.
And thank you so much for checking out the podcast and getting to know your friends. Thanks again to John and our friend Dale Maxfield also for helping us out.
Producing all this.
So thank you. And we'll see you next time on Get to Know Your Friends. So thanks.
Good night.
Bye,
guys.
Yeah.
Fuck you. What the fuck was that? Huh?
What is all this shit?
What the fuck was that, John?
I need a beer.
I tried to improv all the answers. Yeah.